Hi, guys.
Hi.
We've left this right to the last minute, haven't we? This is right up to the last couple of weeks. It's all been recorded Wednesday morning. It's all been good and done. And now we're recording on a Thursday afternoon.
Well, we'll be totally up to date with
Nothing will change stuff between the time we've recorded it and the podcast. So that'll be... That'll be good. All right. Well, in that case, then, shall we get on with it?
Let's do it.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Hello. I'm Hugh Fort.
I'm Rachel Nemeth.
And I'm Tom Canning. And welcome to episode 105 of the Real Reading Podcast. You can like us on Twitter at Real Reading Pod and search Real Reading Podcast Group to join us on Facebook. It's a relatively short and sharp pod this week as we discuss the latest headlines, including the campaign for a new law in the name of PC Andrew Harper, a new dog cafe, which has a rather excellent name, and the latest on the Cavision one-way system, which has taken, shall we say, quite a turn.
Yeah.
Thank you for laughing.
Done a Yui, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. It's a U-turn seems to be the thing of the moment, doesn't it? Really, not to you know, go delve too deeply into the politics of the present day. But there we go. Part of the reason we're short and sharp this week is because we don't have a big interview this week, but I do have some big news to discuss after we've heard from Jeremy.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello at realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Real Reading Pod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thank you, Jeremy. So, big news. Do you want to know what my big news is?
Oh, I can't wait. Go on.
Oh, have you read the
Go
script?
Go on. Yes, of course I have.
Okay. All right.
She says,
well,
reaching for her phone to look at it.
I am on a self-imposed drinking ban.
Oh,
do you want to
know
why?
How did you do that to yourself?
Well, as some listeners will know, my wife is giving birth at the end of this month, probably, and I have done the decent thing. Some would say the decent thing would have been to do the whole 9 months, but you know, it's been a lockdown. I needed something to do, so so I because I'm probably going to have to drive at some point in the next. A mad dash to the hospital, I've decided that I'm going to take no chances and just crack on until it arrives, which someone pointed out to me. You do realise, Tom, it could well be October, because the baby is due on the 28th. Could be the middle of October.
Could be your birthday.
Exactly. So it could be 6 weeks, not 4 weeks, which is, you know, something I hadn't quite thought about, but I figured it's a good time. I guess
Lynette really won't want to hear that, though.
No, not at all. Not at all. I guess, I guess the main thing is, I suppose we did do Dry January as a pair, a couple of about a year ago, 2 years ago, and it was absolutely miserable. Just, I think I didn't realise how much of my social interaction was sort of tied to having a drink. It's just I can stop. I'm not in any, I'm not having any problems. I'm just
that's what they say, isn't it?
That is exactly That is exactly what they say. But no, rest assured, you know, I'm all right. It's a nice social thing that I enjoy doing, seeing friends and that kind of thing. So I guess more than anything, I suppose, Rach, obviously you've been through the pregnancy situation, and Hugh, you are teetotal. Mm-hmm. So I suppose I was after any tips to, you know, keep myself busy.
Yeah, you're not really coming to the right people for sympathy here, are you?
No, not at all.
My top tip is if you're not boozing and you're going out, if you find yourself, which you probably won't in the next 6 months anyway, because you'll have a baby. But if you find yourself in a situation where everyone's drinking hard and having a great time and dancing the night away, and you're sitting in the corner, just always make sure you've got your car so you can just go home.
a wild tip from you there. Lovely.
Yeah. Make sure you're able to leave any situation without any hassle.
That sounds.
There are benefits.
Well, yes, I'm
as well.
I'm hoping it will help me lose a little bit of timber. So.
Well, there's that, and you never have to worry about having a hangover.
No,
so
that's
your weekends
true.
Are completely fresh.
Yeah.
What word I wanted then?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about how you're going to get home from anywhere, because you are the Des.
Yeah, I can drive. I can just drive, which sounds perfectly reasonable. So, I guess,
remember all the other hilarious things that everybody who's drunk says, and you can remind them of it afterwards.
Yeah, or I might discover that my friends actually aren't very funny.
Oh,
that'd be the worst awful. Thing.
Drunk people are awful.
Sorry,
I could tell you that for now.
So I guess if
the same thing for that ninth time in a row, then you're fine.
I guess if
non-alcoholic beverages
that's
you can
true
start exploring. I mean, they are not as nice.
They are definitely not as nice.
No, there's a few lagers that I've found that are passable.
Yeah,
but I did try some wine once.
Well, I can give you an absolute sorry, Rach, talking over you. That's very rude of me.
That's okay.
Well, I can give you an absolute top tip, Tom, is on the subject of what you are drinking. If you're not drinking alcohol, be very wary of what you're drinking, because if you think, oh, I'll drink Diet Coke, and you have three or four glasses of Diet Coke over the course of an evening, that much craved sleep will become increasingly more difficult. Likewise, Red Bull and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, and also, if you drink soft drinks at the same rate as people are drinking beer, then your night is going to be interrupted in another way, because we've reached that age.
So, when men of a certain age.
Yeah, when you have to get up in the night to go to the toilet. So, just be wary of all that, because your sleep will be vital for you. And if you do something like that to ruin your sleep, I can speak from experience. Too many Diet Cokes has a different effect to booze, but not a pleasurable one.
Well, thanks, guys. If the listeners have any sort of top suggestions, I'd be very interested in hearing them. In the meantime, shall we have a chat about this week's news? So, the news this week, we've got a couple of stories here. The first one we're going to talk about is this story about, I think, is it called Harper's Law? Is that just a media thing that's been dreamt up? That's the official name.
I think that's the official name, yeah.
So PC Andrew Harper, who was tragically killed whilst out on a job, trying to stop I think it was three young lads from stealing. Was it a quad bike, Hugh? Sorry, So Mr. Harper's wife Lizzie is campaigning for a change to the law. That means that if you are convicted of murdering a member of the emergency services, you'll get automatic life imprisonment. So Hugh, there's been a few developments, and she's been on Good Morning Britain with everyone's favourite Piers Morgan. So what can you tell us? What can you tell us about what's been going on and where we stand?
So sorry to correct you straight away, Tommy.
Sorry,
you said murdering, which it's actually killing, so that would include manslaughter and I think manslaughter, which is what these teenagers were convicted for. And I'm not quite sure whether they're also sort of gunning for these life sentences if emergency service workers are killed in dangerous driving incidents. I'm not quite sure about that, but it could be also included. If you see what I mean. So following the conclusion of the trial where they were sentenced for manslaughter, acquitted of murder, sent to prison for quite reasonable jail terms, of which they're all subsequently appealing now. There's a curious situation developing.
Reasonable, where, do you mean reasonable as in they were sufficient, or reasonable to them that they weren't very long?
Given the parameters for manslaughter, they're relatively long sentences. Right. Not long enough, say the family. So there's this curious situation where the family has appealed to try to get the sentence extended, and the people who have been convicted are trying to appeal. Tried to get their sentences either reduced or even quashed in a couple of the cases. So the appeal court's going to be busy hearing two completely different sides of the same story, which is quite unusual. But yes, this Lizzie Harper's been she's been very busy trying to get support for this change, which is as you say, a life sentence for anyone convicted of causing the death of an emergency worker. And by emergency workers, it doesn't just mean police. You're talking about firefighters, nurses, prison officers, anyone of that ilk, essentially, to strengthen the punishment for people who are essentially trying to protect the public and help the public who die in, you know, illegal circumstances. And she was on Good Morning Britain, and Piers Morgan was being his usual self, very bombastic and very, you know, the strong views on the what he clearly perceived to be the leniency of the sentence, fully supporting the campaign, as have a lot of other people. And she's met with Lizzie's met with Priti Patel, who's Home Secretary as well, this week as well, and says that the government is certainly listening to her case. So we'll have to see how it unfolds as time goes on. But there's a lot of support and quite a lot of momentum behind this. Now, another police widow, we've got the story on the website now. Ruth Browning, whose husband Gareth Browning died nearly 3.5 years after he was hit by a car, which had been stolen and was being driven by a prisoner on day release. She's also very unhappy at the sentence that man got. So she's put her support behind the campaign as well. So it's certainly gathering momentum. And I think the last time I looked at the petition, it had 640,000 signatures on it.
Wow.
You do have these things from time to time where people sort of petition to change the law. And I don't expect you to have an exact answer, but what sort of is there any sort of precedence for these succeeding?
Yeah, we had the couple, two women from Reading who managed to change the law with regard to sentences for death by causing death by dangerous driving. Sorry, I'm trying to relay this case off of my head. It's quite off the top of my head. It's quite a while ago. But their two husbands were out cycling and they were hit by another.
Oh, yes.
Instead of a stolen car.
Who was
banned.
Was that in Purley? Was that the one?
Yeah, in Purley. Yeah.
Between Tarhurst and Purley.
Yeah, and he was sent to prison, and they worked with Alok Sharma, the Reading West MP, to try to increase the sentencing for those who caused death by dangerous driving. And I think actually over in Maidenhead as well, Theresa May is also working on increasing that particular sentencing again based on something that happened there. So there certainly are campaigns to change the law. And it has happened in Reading. And it's there was another one in Reading as well about it was pretty horrible. I can't remember the details. I think it was Liz Longhurst who was, and it was to do with pornography. And she managed to change the law with regards to access to violent pornography as well. Her daughter was killed and strangled by a man she met online. And her mother then took it upon herself to get stricter laws with regards to that. So yeah, Reading is certainly an area where people have successfully campaigned to change the law.
Mm. Sorry, Hugh, I have rather thrown all that at you. I don't know. I'm not sure we're quite expecting that, but sometimes these things just come to you as we're going through this. So yes, so that is the story of Lizzie Harper, who's attempting to get a change of the law to ensure that people who cause the death of emergency service, members of the emergency services, automatic life imprisonment. Shall we move on to the next one, which has a slightly lighter tone to it? This is the story of the world's first Puppuccino Bar, an open-air dog cafe, which is coming to Reading. It's coming for one day only at the Riverside, at the Oracle. And it's a mobile dog-friendly cafe, which sounds great. There's a picture of a really fluffy-looking dog drinking water from a little cup. I mean, I presume it's not a coffee. I don't know whether it's a good idea to give dogs coffee. I presume that's not... That's not quite on. But the thing on Berkshire Live website, it says it's all going to be set up on the beautiful astroturfed area of the Riverside. Customers can even select from a host of tasty toppings to their dog's taste buds to get their dog's taste buds tingling, including popcorn sprinkles, doggy jazzies, or blueberries. I quite like the way that they've worked really hard to give these cool names, or just blueberries, which has got nothing to do with puppy or dog related things at all. You'll have delicious dog treats, including mini pupcakes, pretzels, and cookies, which sounds great. And neither of you two have a dog, and I have a cat, so I don't think we'll be going. But it just, I've seen on my travels, I've seen these sort of dog cafes and cat cafes. They're popular in big cities. I know there was one in Manchester I walked past, and all the cats they're all just in there overnight, sort of just in their cat cafe. And I can only imagine what it smells like in the morning.
Oh, that's what I was just thinking. I'm sure it's a lovely thing for all the dog owners to have somewhere to go with treats, but I was thinking the AstroTurf is going to be quite inviting, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then I'm trying to choose my words carefully. There might be some clearing up to be done afterwards.
I do wonder what I do wonder about sort of taking a load of dogs. They're bad enough when you walk dogs past each other in the park. A bunch of dogs all in the same place in the Oracle. It's going to be noisy and irritating.
Sniff each other's behinds mostly, don't they?
there's a couple of do's and don'ts. One of them does say don't leave dog mess behind, bag and bin it. Nothing about clearing up the AstroTurf after it's happened. Don't bring aggressive dogs. If they harm another dog or person, it will be your liability. So there's some interesting, that'll be quite an interesting day. That's on September the 12th. So if you fancy taking your dog down. Rach, would you take your cat to a cat cafe?
Scooby? Oh, it doesn't work like that, does it? You don't take your cat to the cat cafe,
do
you?
Do you know what? I don't know.
I thought it was people who just like cats go to the cat cafe and they can sit and stroke them while they have a brew. Is that not it?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
I just think if I put Scooby in his carrier to take him, he would assume we were going to the vets and freak out.
It's hard enough getting the cat in the carrier in the first place.
Exactly. They do that thing where all four legs go out in every different direction. So you can't, you just have to manhandle them in and hope they don't scratch your arms to ribbons in the process.
So yes, that's the September the 12th, the Puppuccino. I think I only picked the story because I quite liked the name of it, which was certainly the headline on the story anyway. So, but no, I don't think the dogs get actual coffee, which is probably probably for the best. Now we have a saga on our hands. I don't mean the insurance company for elderly people. I mean the Caversham one-way system, which let's say caused let's underplay it, caused a bit of a ruckus, caused a bit of a fuss in Caversham. Rach, you brought this to our attention. I think last week when we spoke about it, I think we probably underplayed it quite significantly because we were just talking sort of a bit about the one-way system that you were surprised had opened. And actually, once we'd recorded it and things started to go on Facebook and we started to see social media responses coming in, we kind of realized that actually, I don't think we really did it justice. So much so that it's actually forced the council into a U-turn. So you know, that phrase of the moment, U-turn, the council have been forced into one over Caversham one-way system. So, Rach, what is happening? What's happened?
Well, it all sort of got put in place last week, or was it last week or the week before? And then it gradually, was annoying people more and more with how ridiculous and unbeneficial it seemed, and various campaigns. And I think there was a lady here that you were talking to, who was quite prominent in orchestrating that. And then the council have had a meeting about it a couple of days ago and went, oh, yeah, wasn't our best idea. We'll revoke that before the weekend. But actually, it's gone already.
It's gone. Okay.
It's gone. Yeah. When we walked to school this morning, it was gone. And it was a little bit confusing because yesterday we walked to school in the morning for the first day back, and crossing Westfield Road was really easy because there was nothing coming down the hill, and then I could get across to the alleyway to Zachary's school. And then this morning I sort of went to do the same and nearly came a cropper because cars were coming from all directions again. And it wasn't busy, it was fine. I just didn't know that they were going to be coming. Because I felt like last week when we talked about it, it was quite a damning evaluation of it. And I sort of went off afterwards and walked down there a few times and thought, right, let's just have a think about it from the council's point of view. What benefits can I genuinely pick out of this? And like, literally the only thing I could think of that I did see a lady comment on Facebook was that Westfield Road, when it's two-way and there's cars parked on either side of the road, it can be a rat run. And like, to get between the cars, you've sometimes got to put your foot down to get up and through before somebody's coming downhill or vice versa. So she was happy about it being made one way because it made it was quieter, safer, slower. And I was like, I can see how that's really beneficial, especially as somebody, we use that alleyway at the top of Westfield Park all the time, and getting across that road can be a little bit perilous sometimes. So, you know, for traffic to be moving slower is only a good thing. But beyond that, no, I couldn't see anything. It was, I really tried to be objective.
That's all we ask.
Yeah, I tried.
Should we bring in our council correspondent for just a little of the technical aspect behind what has happened? And I want to say council correspondent, I mean Hugh. Hugh, what have they said? What have the council said?
They've apologised for it. They have said that they haven't quite said we got it wrong, but they've apologized to people living in the area, and what was quite remarkable to me was that pretty much as soon as they put the statement out that saying it was going to be scrapped, there were already people in the street removing it, and it's gone. Like Ranger said, it's now gone. It was, I don't know how long it was there for. What, a couple of weeks, 10 days, something like that. It wasn't very long.
No.
And it's gone. It prompted absolute outcry and strong protests, and People Power has won the day. Whether eventually, with as with a lot of these things, people would have got used to it and it might have started functioning better, we'll never know. But it's been binned.
I don't think it would have been better. If the benefits weren't immediately obvious,
yeah.
People would just get used to it, and it would just you'd just work around it, wouldn't you? That's what would have happened. But if people, you know, immediately weren't taking advantage of that right hand side of the road heading into Caversham to walk, cycle. I actually saw cyclists commenting saying they were actively avoiding the area because it didn't feel safe.
Yeah. I think no amount of white lines painted on a road is ever going to encourage me to walk on a busy road instead of the path.
No, but it wasn't going to be a busy road anymore. It was going to be
for
pedestrians. But I just think they'd be better off spending the money putting, I don't know, a speed camera in or something to make sure that people are driving through there sensibly, so that if a pedestrian did step out, then, you know.
Yeah.
Make it, because there's a school there as well, make it 20 mile an hour zone through there or something.
I mean, yeah, at the busy times you'd be lucky to be doing 20 miles an hour there, really, so it wouldn't really make too much of a difference changing the speed limit, would it?
It just felt like someone went, the pavements are a bit narrow, I know. And that was the only justification for it, really. So it was a very odd one.
So spare a thought for the people of South Street, which is not the one where the Arts Centre is, but another South Street, which is in Caversham, for reasons of, they think because sat-navs hadn't reset themselves properly, they kept on having massive lorries go up that tiny little road. And a guy there has had both his front wall and his front gate knocked off by lorries trying to do 3-point turns in a very small road. And he was not pleased by this. So hopefully that will also stop happening now, for their sake, because it was a nightmare, either having the lorries trying to reverse up with cars either side or trying to turn round. It's not a good situation in a tiny cul-de-sac.
There is nowhere to turn around. So the footpath that I mentioned at the top of Westfield Road, that comes out, it's a dead-end road, and the footpath comes out at the dead end. So one side of the road is parked cars, leaving the other side of the road for driving. But at the top end, there's a tiny bit of, I think it's somebody's property. I think people sort of use it.
Yeah.
Normally you'd sort of reverse.
the chap I spoke to said it's quite hard to turn your car round there. You have to be pretty on the ball to make sure you don't crash into things in a car. So trying to do it in a truck or a lorry, that is not easy.
No.
So all told, not the finest moment. Hugh, I know you were thinking about other moments of people power that has overturned decisions. Did you think of any?
The East Reading MRT was the most obvious one, the bridge over the River Kennet, and that was met with outcry. But actually, whether that is technically people power or not, because it's actually Wokingham Council who refused to allow it to be built on the grounds of various things, including people protesting. Had Wokingham been in favour of it, it probably would have got built despite the protests. So Wokingham were the most powerful people in that particular argument, but it did cause outcry. Various housing developments I thought of, there's one, what I think of was ages ago in Tilehurst, they tried to build, I think there are similar plans come back to that area, Pinsent's Hill in Tilehurst, Alok Sharma, a young Alok Sharma, before becoming the high-flying politician we know nowadays, was heavily involved in fighting off a massive housing development in Tilehurst. That must be at least 10, possibly even 15 years ago. But protest does work. If you get enough numbers and enough outrage about it, and you don't just say things like, we don't want it. You have to come up with other proper reasons. Yeah. It does work.
Well, I think it looks like certainly that saga is over. We will see.
Very short saga.
Yeah. I suppose saga is probably the wrong word, isn't it? And more of a, what would you call it? A, blimey, none of us can think of it.
A mini saga.
Yes.
Due to the length of time.
I want to say like a tornado.
A whirlwind, yeah.
A whirlwind, that's it. A whirlwind of protest and disgruntlement. It did do the rare thing, I think, of uniting drivers and cyclists in condemnation. I'm not sure, and I don't know if we know what pedestrians thought. Well, obviously, Rach, you're a pedestrian. You hated it. So in our sample of one, pedestrians hated it. So
I didn't see anyone say anything good about it. But
no.
But my experience of these things normally is that if some people like things, they don't tend to comment on it.
Yeah.
So, or if things aren't causing problems, then people don't tend to go out of their way to say so. So you have to take these with a little bit of a pinch of salt. Yes. But certainly this didn't work and has now gone. So we move on.
Talking of which, that is it for part one. In part two, we'll head straight for the random question.
The random question.
Hi guys, enjoy your little break.
Lovely, feet up, brew.
Yeah, brew on, brewski.
Yeah.
We didn't have that long. This week's random question. If this is all relative, if you could open your own cafe, how would you theme it?
Oh, with puppies. Oh no, that's been done.
Yeah, oh no. You've got to be original.
Oh, I've had my business idea for this since I was about 18.
Are you prepared to share it?
Well, if I haven't executed the plan yet, I think it's fair game, isn't it?
Yeah,
if anyone pinches maybe. It. So I wanted to open the Read and Feed.
Right.
Which is like, well, actually, I've just like evolved it in my head as I was thinking. Then, like a cafe with a bookshop in was the original one, but since I had the idea, like Waterstones and various others jumped on. Yeah, they pinched my idea.
Yeah, did you go for a job interview there at some point and they asked you, oh, if you could do anything in Waterstones, what would you do? Well, I'd open a cafe.
Oh, I'd love to work in Waterstones. but maybe what seems quite popular at the minute, so a little variation on the theme, is like book swapping rather than a cafe. So, yeah, I'm a member of a local book swapping Facebook group that I have passed a few books on already the last couple of weeks. And I also like it when you're going for a walk or something and you see a phone box that's been repurposed as a little mini library where you can just help yourself.
That seems like the sort of thing that might happen in a village.
Yeah, I think it was in Checkenden that I saw one.
Okay. I can't imagine you'd see that in Reading Town Centre, perhaps.
Probably not. Yeah. But that's the kind of thing I'd want to do. Somewhere where people could go and chill with a coffee, look at the books, have a read, buy some more coffee and cake, hopefully. Don't just want them sat there reading a book and not buying anything all day. that's what I did.
How
the
would
other
you...
one was the Pie Emporium. I also wanted a pie shop, but
we've discussed that. Yeah. I think we've discussed the Pie Emporium, haven't we?
I mean, Sweeney's have got that sort of covered, haven't they?
So. How would you deal with? So you get the latest John Grisham in. How would you deal with sort of the cues to read the latest Grisham thriller?
Oh well, it's just like a bookstore. So if you spot it, on the shelf, that's yours to take, isn't it?
I mean, ideally,
replace it with something else that you finished with.
Yeah, I would suggest some sort of priority system based on the size of the piece of cake you've bought.
Do you think?
So if you buy like
the
half
more
a
you
cake,
spend,
yeah, it's like a point system, like a meritocracy of cake.
And have the books like in tiered groups.
Yeah.
So if you spend 20 quid, you're in tier one. You can pick what you want out of the good stuff.
Yeah. And obviously, as you eat the cake, you end up going down the list of priorities. So you have to get another bit of cake to go back up to the top again. I think this idea sells itself.
Brilliant business model.
Hugh.
Brilliant.
Ah, yes. My idea. Yes. I would like to run a wrestling themed cafe.
Right.
I've just been brainstorming it. You could have slamwiches.
Okay.
Perhaps you could have a little bit of the Rock Cakes or the Rocky Road.
Nice.
And every waiter or waitress would have to be dressed as a classic wrestler. So your slamwiches would be served by the likes of Macho Man Randy Savage, perhaps. Or The Undertaker.
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. And the you'd be sitting... The posh seats would be inside a ring in the middle, and then outside you'd have like a crowd at tables, like a bit like a boxing event.
Yeah.
But you could pay to sit in the ring and be lauded above everyone, and then food fights would be encouraged, and where to finish your meal you'd be able to hit your you'd be sitting on a fold up metal chair. And then when you finished, you'd be able to hit your waiter with it, and that would be the way to signal that the meal was over. And then someone would ring a bell.
I'd like to just to add to that, Hugh. I would like to see waiters delivering. Okay, so if the waiters end up taking a bit of a hit at the end, I'd like to see when they're delivering the food, they actually drop it off a 6-foot ladder, slam it down onto the table off a 6-foot ladder, and then sort of. Jump down off the ladder and slam it down. Food goes everywhere. That kind of thing. That's all I remember about wrestling, really.
That, in fact, actually, you could food would also be available on a buffet, and inevitably, someone would end up getting body slammed through the buffet table, sending vol-au-vents and quiche flying. Business plan might need a little bit of tweaking, but I think there's something there, isn't there?
I'm not sure you're going to make any money off of that, Hugh, because you're just constantly replacing your furniture that's been smashed.
This is true. All right, Dragon's Den. Eh?
I'm not going to invest. I'm sorry.
I'm out.
just if you were interested, my cafe would be railway themed. And all of the drinks and food would all be delivered via train, going around the.
Oh, a bit like that sushi.
Yes,
what's the sushi one in House of Fraser when it comes around on a little conveyor belt like
that's
that?
It. Yeah, on that. Except it'd be all on the 905, which is a very fine Wallace and Gromit reference. If anybody, let's see what's on the 905, eh?
What kind of food are you going to serve?
I hadn't thought that far ahead. It's going to cost me enough money to lay all the railway track.
You could recreate the classic days of the British Rail bacon sandwich, which was notoriously terrible and incredibly expensive.
And everyone could be stood around waiting for half an hour whilst either they got the wrong food or it didn't show up at all.
Or you could just cram as many people possible into a very small space.
And every 6 months, I just put the prices up 100%.
Yeah. And but one thing's for sure, Tom, the staff would be very well trained.
Yep. Not even going to laugh at that. That's dreadful. Okay. So I suppose we should ask what would we should ask our listeners what their ideal themed cafe would be. We would really want to I'm struggling to know what our article is going to be, what our post is going to be on Berkshire Live this week. I think it might be around how would you theme your cafe. I feel there's some mileage in this, perhaps. Although we did see someone did comment on it last week, on the article that we posted last week about Caversham One Way System, saying, "Oh, I'm fed up with seeing posts about the podcast all the time. If I wanted to listen to the news, I'd turn on the radio." Which I suppose is fair enough. I did point out it only goes up once a week, but you know.
Yeah, I saw that. Oh, he was a little bit cross about it, wasn't he?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, you know, chill out.
One article a week. It's not really.
I have to remember that all these businesses out there that cater all their entire business strategy towards an individual person and how successful they've been in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see phone boxes anymore, do you?
They're all full of books.
Yeah. But presumably if one person doesn't like that idea, then no one should ever try it.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
That's how internet comment sections work, isn't it?
Thanks, guys. If you would like to tell us how you would theme at your cafe, here's Jeremy with how you can get in touch.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Real Reading Pod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. That is quite enough for this week. We will be back again next week, hopefully with Glenn Dinning of Blue Collar Food Market, ahead of the, is it the world's biggest street food competition, Hugh?
Yes.
Which is going to be hosted in Reading. And I am hoping we will also have a special guest host for episode 106.
We're still 106.
Yeah, it means something. Mm. I can't think what that is off the top of my head, but you know, find out next week. We are obviously always still looking for good people to speak to. Someone that would make a good interviewee on the show would be someone who lives or works in Reading and flipping loves the place like we do. Any suggestions, please do get in touch via Facebook or Twitter. If you have a moment, please give us a rating on your podcast app. And if you have some spare time, please submit a review. We'll be back next week with more Readingy podcast goodness. Bye!
Bye.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Languages.